In an earlier part of my career, I taught at our college seminary, and I taught everyone's favorite course, English composition. But I also taught some literature courses, and I was always attracted to young adult or children's literature. And one of the books I always used in that course of reading was The Secret Garden. It's a story where one of the characters is a young boy called Colin, who lives in a rambling mansion with his father, Lord Craven. He is a sickly child who had been rather overprotected by his father because of his childhood illness. He never left his room, and there he never really learned how to walk properly. It was unfortunate that he was also a young boy who had lost his mother, so there was no mothering figure to nurture him in his life. Yet, during the course of the story, a cousin comes to live with them, and she had been orphaned by her parents who had been in India. So Mary comes into this rambling household, and as most of these British stories go, the father, Lord Craven, is very disassociated with his child, and he leaves the care to a cook, a nanny, and the house servants. But Mary took to herself to go, you know, exploring the house and the outdoors, and she found a locked garden wall, locked door to a garden. And somehow, with the help of a neighbor, she was able to unlock the door to this garden, and with that young friend, Dixon, they together, you know, brought that garden to new life. But in the course of the story, she got new life. She got over much of her grief, and she became much more at peace through the creation, the world, the nature that was being built up in that garden. And as she continued to explore the mansion, that house, she came across this door where Colin's room was, and she had heard some weeping from there and some movement, so she finally got the courage to go in and find her cousin. And they introduced one another, and she found that he had never been outdoors. So she and Dixon took Colin, again, the father was never around somehow in this story, but it adds to the tension and the building up of Colin and his growth. So Mary and Dixon take Colin out to that secret garden. And there in the expanse of that garden, they teach him how to walk, teach him how to run, how to enjoy nature. And he finally gets able to heal physically and emotionally. His friends, Mary and Dixon, had become for him channels of the Lord's creative spirit. And so there are people in our lives as well, or times in our lives where we need others to lead us to an equivalent secret garden for ourselves, where we can experience the Lord's healing and empowering presence. That is what we find today in the gospel story, which features a man who is unable to hear and has a speech impediment. In a culture as theirs, where most people would not even read nor write, the inability to hear and speak was a greatly impoverishing. However, this man was very fortunate to have people in his life who took an interest in him and who brought him to Jesus, whom they knew had a reputation as a healer. Jesus went on to become this man's personal secret garden, so to speak, the one through whom God's creative healing spirit touched his life. Jesus often heals people by word or by touch, by placing his hands on them. However, in this gospel today, Jesus' encounter with this man is very intimate. He pulls him aside and gave this particular man his full attention. He firstly takes the man away from all the crowd so that they can truly be, you know, one to one, and the two of them can be on their own. He then puts his fingers into the man's ears and touches his tongue. Very intimate, close moment, where we wouldn't think of doing that right now with COVID, you know what I'm talking about. Then, looking up to heaven with a gesture of prayer to God, his Heavenly Father, he cries out, "Be opened." The opening of the man's ears resulted in his loosening of his tongue. That same Ephrata prayer is used at every baptism of a child, and I hope for an adult as well, where the priest, the deacon, touches our ears, touches our tongues, that we might be open to hear the word of God, to listen to it, be attentive to it, and then to speak God's word. When we read this gospel passage today, it can sometimes be helpful to ask ourselves, where do I find myself in this gospel story? Which character would I identify with most easily? The same gospel story can speak to us differently at different times of our lives. We might identify with one character more than another. In today's gospel reading, we might find ourselves identifying with the man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. There may be times when we need to be the one to care for someone and bring that person to Jesus, to a secret garden where they can be renewed and refreshed, a place that would remain a secret to us if we didn't bring someone else along. We need to share that secret garden with someone else. You know, we hear in one of the Psalms that the Lord refreshes us and restores us and revives our drooping spirits. The Lord is very present in such places, but especially through those people who are channels of God's presence to us, of God's peace. In our first reading today, Isaiah, the prophet, is instructed by the Lord, "Say to all the faint hearts," to those who have drooping spirits, "courage, do not be afraid." There are times in all of our lives when we need to be such messengers of the Lord to other people around us, to encourage them, to give them hope, give them hope-filled words to drooping hearts, faint hearts. We need people who can make real for us the imagery of that first reading, of water gushing from the rock, from the desert, of streams flowing through a wasteland. I spoke yesterday about this being this season of creation, the time from September 1st to October 4th. It's a season of creation where we are asked to remind ourselves how the secret garden is our earth and how we must protect it, care for it, and enjoy it. And the wonderful image of the secret garden in our story today is a symbol of the human person fully alive. So throughout this season of creation, we are asked to remind ourselves that God has given this earth to find where we can find restoration and peace. Going back to playing the characters in that story, there are other times when, hearing the story in today's gospel reading, we might feel that we identify most with those who cared for the man to bring him to Jesus, those caregivers, those first responders, we would call them today. That deaf and mute man needed others to bring him to Jesus. And in various ways, any one of us can be a gate of life to someone, giving that garden to others, that new life to others. The risen Lord Jesus desires to work through each and every one of us, through you and me, in creative ways so that the lives of others and our world is enriched and recreated. Our second reading today says another important image that we must remind ourselves today, that Jesus revealed a God who is especially attentive to the voiceless and the afflicted. In our gospel reading, Jesus gave his full attention to this man who was brought to him, who was voiceless. The greatest gift we can give to someone is often the gift of our full attention, of being totally present to them, not distracted, not having anything else on our mind, but just truly being with them, for them. This attentiveness on our part can be that gate to the secret garden, the opening through which the Lord touches the life of someone in a very intimate and life-giving way. Jesus speaks of himself as the gate in the gospel. We can be that gate, that way for others. So let us promise ourselves and challenge ourselves to bring others into the secret garden of our faith.